Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, welcome to Fellowship Talks. This is a podcast made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. We are one church in multiple locations, and we have campuses in Cabot and Benton, Midtown, West Little Rock, and our Fellowship Espanol campus. And Amy, we are here today with to talk about Dwell and to interview some of our Dwell speakers.
I know. I love this time of year. I love getting to meet our speakers, hear from them, get to know them a little bit.
Right. So you've already sat through Dwell and you've heard the speakers from Dwell. And even if you didn't make it to Dwell, we want you to be able to get to know some of our speakers. And so first up, our first speaker that we want to sit down with and get to know is David Legg. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
It's great to have you here. Have you been in Arkansas before?
Never been in Arkansas before. No. Okay. I've been in the States, but not Arkansas.
Yeah. So not being to Arkansas before, where does that mean you're from? Where did you come from for Dwell?
Yeah, I've come the whole way from Ireland. So I live in Northern Ireland, in a place called Portadown, which is not far from Belfast. Most people will have heard of Belfast, so that's okay. Home for me.
Okay. Mm. Well, what's the difference between Ireland and Northern Ireland?
Well, a lot of people don't know this, particularly in the States, but Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland are two different countries. We're on the same island, the island of Ireland, but there are two states on the island, and Northern Ireland actually is part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So we're one with Scotland, Wales, England.
Okay.
Whereas the Republic of Ireland is a separate state, a separate country.
Okay.
That's really helpful. I was thinking earlier when you say like England or the United Kingdom, but that helps me to remember the geography that United Kingdom refers to all those countries.
Yeah, except the Republic
except
of Ireland.
Except the Republic of Ireland.
But we look at the island as a spiritual whole. And when we pray, you know, we don't pray about two different places. We look at the whole island and for the whole people, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you know the story of how God's brought you to Dwell to be with us here?
Yeah, I do.
This is an interesting story, and I wish Catherine was here to share it with us, but Amy, you probably know some more of this too.
Well, yeah, I love hearing Catherine talk about driving back from Nashville on a trip that she was on, and she was wanting to listen to a podcast, and if I remember right, she was specifically looking for a topic that was God's presence or the Holy Spirit. It was something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And she came across your podcast and started listening to you and listened to you the whole way back. Mm. And I remember when she got back, she called me and said, "You've got to listen to this guy. I'm going to send it to you right now." And so it's been neat to, I know that you all then had a Skype conversation sometime after that and started talking about you coming here. That's right. So that's really great.
So you don't usually do a lot of traveling to the States to speak?
No, this is the first time I've spoken in the States. I've been to the States numerous times, but for personal reasons.
Yeah.
Vacations and some conferences, but this is the first time I've actually spoken.
Okay. Well, tell us what it was like receiving that call from Catherine from Little Rock, Arkansas, giving you a call.
Well, it was tremendous to hear how God had orchestrated it and how blessed they were through the ministry. We would get quite a few communications from other countries to the website, which goes everywhere, obviously. But every now and again, you do get an invitation. And there was something about this that when we Skyped together, realized there was like a kindred spirit. There was a convergence of journeys almost and how God had led me and how he was leading them in the Dwell conference in particular. So it felt right. Mm-hmm. And then over the last year or so, we've been keeping in touch and that's been confirmed.
Yeah. So you've had contact with our church over the last year, just preparing and seeing where our leadership's heart is for this specific conference and just formulating what God would have you to share at Dwell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We're so glad to have you here.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah, well, I'm married for 20 years to Barbara. And
hey, Barbara.
I have two children, Lydia, 16, and Noah, he's 13. Mm-hmm. And so that's my family.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of work do you do? Because you're not a pastor, right?
I'm
now,
not
right?
a pastor. I was a pastor for about 11, 12 years. And then I stepped out of that mm-hmm. into a more itinerant role of Bible teaching, going various places and so on. And I also would be involved quite heavily in prayer ministry. So that's praying with folk with various problems and issues and seeing God move in quite remarkable ways through that.
Tell me a little bit more about that. What does that mean, like having a prayer ministry?
Yeah. Well, we all believe in prayer, obviously, as Christians, but and we probably believe in counseling, biblical counseling, but mm-hmm. there's another level, if you like, of more invasive prayer that brings the two of those things together, and where roots of particular issues can mm-hmm. be broken, and really people can be healed mm-hmm. in their hearts, and also maybe set free from bondages that mm-hmm. they've been in through the enemy's mm-hmm. machinations. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So without you having a specific church that you're pastoring, how does that work with you having people that know that you're available to pray with them?
Yeah. Well, I would like to emphasize I do have my own church fellowship. I have a covering, accountable mm-hmm. to the leadership and involved in form of leadership there.
So your church's name is Fellowship?
No, it's called Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, okay.
Church. But as far as ministering to people is concerned, it happens in a number of ways. You might be preaching somewhere and you minister to someone there mm-hmm. or they contact you afterwards. It's usually through word of mouth. Somebody's mm-hmm. been helped and they need help. They tell a friend and mm-hmm. that's the way it works.
Yeah, and your ministry is called Preach the Word.
Yeah,
right?
The website's called Preach the Word and everything's available there, audio, podcasts, written.
Mm-hmm. So preachtheword.com is where people can find you,
yep.
find some of your messages, find podcast links and yep. other things like that.
Yep.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit of your story, just like how did you come to Christ? Where did your relationship with the Lord begin?
Well, I grew up with Christian parents and grandparents and even great-grandparents who were believers, so I have a good heritage that way. So came to faith at a very young age and obviously went through the whole recommitment as a teenager that most people in Christian homes have to go through because so many things out there asking us to do other stuff. And but always sensed the call of God really on my life to preach the word, you know. Mm-hmm. But even at that, there have been transitions along those years as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who are some of your mentors, Christian mentors, that you looked up to when you were learning as a young pastor
yeah.
or in just beginning in ministry?
Well, obviously, there were other pastors, older men, evangelists, godly men who were great examples. But I suppose mentors that were most significant to me were historical ones, in books that I'd read about and their writings, and mm-hmm. Gleaned a great deal from that as a young man, even.
Yeah.
Revivalists in particular, people who
yeah.
had a heart for God to do something fresh, do something new in their own generation.
Yeah, which guys?
People like Moody, Finney, R.A. Torrey, Wesley Whitfield, you know, Roy Hessian. Don't know whether all those are familiar for you, but people who God has really used, C.H. Spurgeon and the like, through the years.
Yeah. So what's some of the Northern Ireland religious climate like?
Yeah, well, some people that are familiar with Ireland will know there's a religious divide. Obviously, there's more than two religious expressions, but the main ones are Catholic and Protestant.
Okay.
And that has led to a lot of our problems over the years,
right.
which is largely political, but it's also religious. So in both of those expressions of Christianity, Catholic and Protestant, there is nominalism and there is dead, empty, traditional expression of Christianity.
Okay.
And and so really we're looking for the true kingdom of God coming to Ireland, and it's not always evident in those traditions. Not that God can't show up and do things in either of them, but that's the background that we have. So there's a lot of tradition, quite conservative views on things, although increasingly our society is becoming more liberal and more secular. So whilst they may take a particular religious label from a cultural perspective, on a personal level, those things aren't as important to people, and their moral views are becoming more and more liberal.
One of the things that I know you and Catherine have visited some about is life in the spirit and what that means. And could you talk some about that? Just some of your journey of just understanding what it means to walk in the spirit.
Sure. Well, I alluded to this a little bit in saying that there have been other transitions in my life. And when I began to follow the Lord as a child and then subsequently went into ministry as a very young man, my background was a cessationist background, which really believes that the gifts of the Spirit, the miraculous signs, wonders, supernatural elements, ceased at the death of the apostles and were superseded with the canon of Scripture, really, and that's all we need today. Now, I wasn't as strict as that. I believed there was an openness to the supernatural to a degree, but as far as the gifts of the Spirit were concerned, I believed those weren't for today. Cut a very long story short, I hit a brick wall in ministry where it was really burnout and stress and a bit of disillusionment, and I took 3 months off, and during those 3 months, I believe God really started to take me apart to put me back together again, and I began to question some of the received wisdom that I grew up with in that expression of Christianity. And there were several areas, but one of the areas was the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And God began to show me from Scripture that actually, on the contrary, these things weren't meant to die out, but they were meant to express the evident manifestation of the presence of God on the earth today in His church. And so I shifted theoretically, theologically, from a cessationist viewpoint to a continuationist viewpoint. But I would hasten to add that that was conceptual. Mm-hmm. And so that was in my mind. And up until then, I really hadn't much experience of those things myself. But biblically, I felt I could now stand on a foundation to say these were for today. It was a little bit later, a year or two later, when I actually left the pastoral role, that I started to experience practically some of those elements of the work of the Spirit.
Tell us a little bit how you experienced those practically. Yeah. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, for me, in my background, I feel that God almost had to get me convinced in my mind, because I was very mind-driven, doctrine-driven. And so I had to be able to say, this is okay. And then when I stepped out of that pastoral role, I was pursuing, and Scripture does say, pursue earnestly spiritual gifts. It's not enough to be kind of passive and say, well, Lord, if you want this for me, you can give it to me, but you know, kind of laissez-faire about it. Uh-huh. It's important to actually seek and knock in order to find.
Tell us a little bit about, you have a radio program too, right?
Is that right?
God Encounters?
Yeah, God Encounters. That's been on a radio station called United Christian Broadcasting in UK and in Ireland. And so it's kind of an exploration of this whole area that God is a person, and the Trinity is a relationship of three persons. And so a lot of what we believe about God is in black and white paper theory, but in fact, persons are about relationships and encountering and interacting with one another. And God is meant to be known and experienced and encountered. And the program just explores some of the ways that we can do that.
Yeah. Do you have guests on? Or,
no.
Or is it you talking through?
It's all me. it's really, I suppose, adapted, parts of sermons that I've truncated down for the 3-minute program.
Okay.
It goes out every day, Monday to Friday.
Okay. So 3 minutes every day.
3 minutes every day.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know how you say anything in 3 minutes, like make your point.
It's amazing what you can say in 3 minutes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's a lot of work right there.
Yeah.
Well, it has been. They tend to, repeat the programs. I have a year's worth, so they keep repeating them every now and again. But the time's coming, I'll have to go in and do a bit more work again.
Yeah, but even in 3 minutes to be able to script what you want to say to to be very specific and challenge people in 3 minutes would be tough.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so football. Are you a football fan?
Well, you see, where I come from, football is not an oval ball. It's a round ball.
Oh, that's what I mean.
It's soccer, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we believe in football, yeah, where I come from. Yeah. But we also play rugby,
okay,
which is with an oval ball. Okay. And the Irish are pretty good at rugby. At the moment, they're probably number one in the world, even above the All Blacks, New Zealand. So,
okay.
So that's the thing we're pretty proud about at the moment.
Wait a second. I thought Fiji was number one in the world.
Maybe in the Southern Hemisphere, but no. Okay. New Zealand, certainly in the Southern Hemisphere, was always the best rugby team and worldwide as well. But we've beat them recently, so.
Yeah, so I'm learning more and more about rugby around the world.
Yeah.
But one of the things I've learned is that even as people get older, they don't stop playing rugby.
No.
So are you still out there playing rugby from time to time?
I used to play rugby, but no, I don't play rugby.
Wait, why do they not stop?
It's just
kind of in your blood.
They love it, yeah. People love playing rugby.
Yeah.
But it's a real man's game. It's not like American football where you have to put a helmet on and padding and all that. These guys go for it without any of that stuff.
I feel like we're getting jabbed a little bit.
I think so.
We worry about concussions a little too much here with NFL. Yeah. how long did you grow up playing rugby then?
Yeah, the schools we went to, that was like the stable sport that you had to play. But I enjoyed playing it. But soccer would be a big sport where we come from, probably number one sport.
Do your kids play sports?
Yeah, my son plays soccer for our local team.
Are you changing the word just for us?
Yeah, just for you. Doing it just for you.
And, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
My daughter, she would have been big into swimming and stuff, but my son's probably more the sports buff.
Okay. Yeah, so do you have a local team that you guys
follow? Yeah, we have a local team, Portadown FC, and he plays for the youth in that team.
Yeah.
That's great.
And isn't soccer, especially in that area where – even from the professional leagues, they have the same, I don't know how you would describe it here, farm system all the way down into the schools.
Yeah.
So you're playing for the same professional team as you get older.
Yeah. Well, more so now than ever, that's what they're doing. Okay. And they have like youth academies where they develop the players.
Uh-huh.
And even if that player doesn't filter through to the top team, he may or she may go to another team, but they're trying to develop the youth more from the ground up.
I don't remember what I was listening to, but I heard a little bit more about that recently.
Yeah.
It just fascinates me with that whole system from even youth in school coming underneath a professional team.
Mm-hmm. So I want to know what your wife and kids have requested for you to bring back from the U.S. What souvenirs are you taking back?
Well, my daughter spent a month in Kansas last summer on an exchange project, and so she thinks she's half American. But she's told me all the eating joints to go to, and she wants some makeup. That's what she wants back. Makeup that you can't get at home. And caramel M&Ms.
Really?
Which I'm quite partial to myself. You can't get caramel M&Ms, or is there peanut butter M&Ms?
Those are really good too.
We can't get those.
Take some of those.
Just the regular milk chocolate or the nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we
have. There's no variety after
not
that.
Really. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not really.
Yeah, well, you don't need anything past the peanut M&Ms, in my opinion.
No.
That's good enough
for
me.
That's right. Yes. Well, that's great.
If someone from the U.S., say myself, when I come to visit Northern Ireland in a few months, where should someone from Central Arkansas visit or make a purpose of visiting in Northern Ireland?
Yeah. Well, Ireland as a whole and Northern Ireland is a gem. You know, it really is a beautiful country. And people know it because of the green fields.
Mm-hmm.
That's because of all the rain, obviously. But there are some wonderful places to go. Two highlights, a bit different from each other. Obviously, people know that Titanic was built. I think they know that in Belfast, in Northern Ireland. It sailed from Southampton, but it was built in Harland & Wolff Shipyard in Belfast. And there is there a Titanic exhibition, which is like a museum.
Okay.
And it's apparently, I heard, the number one sort of museum-type exhibition in Europe. So it's very worthwhile going there. if you're traveling to Northern Ireland. The other place probably would be the Giant's Causeway. I don't know whether you're familiar with that.
Yeah, I am scheduled to visit that part.
Okay. It's been touted as possibly one of the wonders of the world, but I don't think it's officially one of them. But it's certainly one of the natural wonders of the world, mm-hmm. where there's these, I think they're hexagonal geographical phenomena that have shot out of the ground through volcanic eruptions and so on. Mm-hmm. So you get this wonderful scene. You should Google it and see it. It's exceptional.
Say the name of it again.
The Giant's Causeway, and it's right on the coast at the sea.
Okay.
But it's this, as I say, geological phenomenon.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes for anybody to look at see a picture of it anyway. Uh-huh. Yeah. There won't be any like free tickets to fly and see it or anything, but you know, just look at the picture and see what David's talking about here. Yeah. So you mentioned green fields because of the rain. So you're right at home here this weekend.
Very much so. Even the temperature here.
The cold rain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is normal for
it's
you.
It's quite similar.
Yeah. All right, good. I'm glad that we're not like lowering the expectations.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. God works in great ways, right? Keeping you comfortable here.
Yeah.
And I guess even when John Mark Comer comes from Portland, you know, just trying to keep it similar for the Northwest area too.
Yeah.
So.
That's right. Yeah.
Tell us how have you seen God move through your ministry in your country?
Well, obviously there's the element of preaching the word where people get fed and built up, edified through the scriptures, but
yeah.
Particularly over the last 10 years or so, as my ministry has brought not so much a move into the area of the Spirit, but more of a balance between Word and Spirit, I've seen the miraculous, the supernatural mm-hmm. in people's lives, and just the thrill and exhilaration of seeing God help people, change people's whole perspectives and potential futures. So that can be physical healing, it can be spiritual, emotional, and mental healing, and even in the area of deliverance where people mm-hmm. are bound by the enemy, just seeing him set people free.
Yeah.
So I see that in the meetings sometimes that I take. I see it in private when I pray with people. But that's probably the highlight. Obviously people coming to Christ, people being restored, but just seeing the kingdom of God coming today. It's just such a thrill.
Mm-hmm. And David, what's your prayer for the Dwell Conference, for what people you hope that God will do in the lives of people here at the conference?
Well, I just want them to encounter God. And I've learned that you don't specify how that will happen, because everybody's needs are obviously different and where they're at and what they need to happen for them at this moment in time. But I suppose my desire, belief, and prayer is that the message I've got and whatever I'm carrying and bringing from the Lord will be released, and that people will be touched. And I know the Lord's already here, of course, but that in that moment there'll be some kind of interaction in the spiritual realm and people will be changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, David, it's been really good getting to know you. Thank you for the opportunity to sit down and talk with you more specifically. We really appreciate you coming to Little Rock, coming to Fellowship Bible Church, and spending a few days away from your family. We're thankful that they allowed you to be able to come and travel and spend some time with us. So thank you
so
much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, Amy, we're gonna spend some time with some of the other Dwell speakers too, and you'll be able to listen to some of those interviews that we have as we'll release those over the next couple of weeks. This is just a really good time to sit down with some of our Dwell speakers and get to know them a little bit better.
It really is, and it's just neat to hear how God's working in different parts of the world, even as he's brought David here.
That's good. Well, until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.